Chapter 6. Earlshall Park. One day, Joe led Merrylegs out to the paddock to give rides to Miss Jessie and Miss Flora. When Joe brought him back, the little grey pony had some news for us.
"The mistress is not well again. She and the master are going to live in a warmer country. He is going to sell all his horses."
I felt very sad. I liked living at Birtwick Park. The squire and his wife were very kind to me. That day, John was very quiet. Little Joe Green always whistled cheerfully. But the sad news made him quiet too. A few days later, we heard that Merrylegs was going to live with a friend of Squire Gordon and that Joe was going with him. Ginger and I were sold to Lord Westerly of Earlshall Park. The next day, John took me and Ginger to our new home. Earlshall Park was very grand and there were lots of stables. A tall man came out and shook John's hand. "I'm Mr. York, the coachman," he said. He led Ginger and me to our new loose boxes, where he rubbed us down and fed us. "Tell me about these two, John," said Mr. York. "Are they good workers?"
"They're the best pair of horses in the land," replied John. "But they are quite different. The black one is gentle and will do anything you ask, but the brown mare can be difficult. I think she was badly treated before she came to Birtwick Park. But she is happy now, and they both work very well together. We have never used a bearing rein on them."
"They will have to wear a bearing rein now," said Mr. York. "The mistress will ask for it. She's a very fashionable lady. She wants her horses to be fashionable too." Then John patted us both. He looked sad as he said goodbye. I was very sorry to see him go. In the morning, Lord Westerly came to the stables.
"Lady Westerly will go out in the carriage today, York," he said.
"Yes, sir, but the horses have never worn a bearing rein. Can I leave it off?" Mr. York asked.
"They must wear it," replied Lord Westerly, "but don't put it on too tight at first."
Mr. York put on our harnesses and hitched Ginger and me to the carriage. Then he led us round to the front door of the house. Our new mistress, Lady Westerly, came out and looked at us unhappily. But she said nothing and stepped into the carriage. I didn't like the bearing rein because I couldn't put my head down or stretch my neck. But that first day wasn't too bad. Ginger and I tried our best. The next day, the bearing rein was much tighter. My neck hurt, and the sharp bit cut into my mouth.
"Now you know what it's like, Beauty," said Ginger. "If they make the bearing rein any tighter, I will make them sorry."
The next day, our mistress came down the steps.
"Tighten the bearing reins at once, York," she shouted.
Mr. York tightened my bearing rein first. It felt terrible. It was so painful. When he tried to tighten Ginger's reins, she reared and kicked up her back legs. Then she fell down. Mr. York called the groom and they unhitched us from the carriage. The groom led me back to the stable, and Mr. York followed with Ginger. "The horses don't like that bearing rein," Mr. York said. I warned our mistress, but she didn't listen. Ginger never pulled the mistress's carriage again. A new horse called Max took her place. Max and I had to wear bearing reins. The next few months were terrible for me. In the spring, Lord Westerly went on a trip to London, and Mr. York went with him. Lady Westerly did not drive her carriage. She went riding every day, and she chose me to be her riding horse. I enjoyed these rides. One day, a friend of Lord and Lady Westerly, Mr. Blantyre, came on a ride with us. He rode Lizzie, a fast but difficult horse.
"I'm very pleased with her," he told our mistress.
"Let me ride her then," our mistress said.
"That's a good idea, Anne," said Mr. Blantyre. "But she's not an easy horse to ride."
"Nonsense," replied our mistress. "Help me up, now. I want to take this letter to the doctor's house."
So Mr. Blantyre rode me, and our mistress rode Lizzie. When we reached the doctor's house, Mr. Blantyre jumped down and went through the gate with the letter. Our mistress waited for him on Lizzie. I stood next to them. On the other side of the road, I saw some cart horses in a field. A boy was driving them through the gate and whipping them. Suddenly, one of the horses ran across the road. He ran straight into Lizzie. She kicked up her back legs and galloped off with our mistress on her back. I neighed, and Mr. Blantyre ran out of the house. He jumped onto my back and cried,
"Come on, Beauty, your mistress is in danger. We must go after them."
I galloped fast. Lizzie and our mistress disappeared round a corner. Then we came to a crossroads, and Mr. Blantyre didn't know which way to go. Luckily, a lady was in her garden. She saw Lizzie gallop past and pointed us to the right road. I started galloping again, and we soon came to some very rough ground. Then we saw them. Our mistress's hat blew off her head as Lizzie galloped. They came to a wide ditch. Lizzie jumped over it and crashed to her knees on the other side. Our mistress fell onto the hard ground. She lay quite still. Mr. Blantyre jumped off my back and knelt beside her.
"Speak to me, Anne," he said.
There was no reply. Her face was white, and her eyes were closed. Then a man ran up to us.
"What can I do to help?"
he asked.
"Ride this horse to the doctor's house as fast as you can," said Mr. Blantyre. "You'll be quite safe with Beauty. Tell the doctor to come and then go to Earlshall Park. Tell someone to bring a carriage."
The man jumped into my saddle and we set off. We delivered Mr. Blantyre's messages and a groom led me back to the stables. He led me into my box and rubbed me down. Then he threw a rug over my back. 2 days later, Mr. Blantyre came to see me. He stroked my nose and said,
"Well done, Beauty. You saved your mistress's life."